in the shul there came over to me and had a question where he wanted to know why is it that so many people feel that it is appropriate to learn in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So I said to him, number one, the good news is that if they're learning, at least they're not talking. So certainly learning during Kriyas HaTorah is considered to be better off than speaking during Kriyas HaTorah. But I told him that I would talk about it a little bit this week, and then I would send him the recording. So this is in honor of my friend in Houston, who I met over Shabbos, who had this very important question. It really begins in Maseches Megillah, Daf Chav Ches, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, when you go to a Beis HaKnesses, what is the appropriate behavior that is expected of all of us? So says the Gemara, E Nogim Bahem Kalus Rosh, you cannot have a lightheaded disposition when you go there, and therefore, says the Gemara, Ein Ochlim Bahem, Ein Shosim Bahem, you're really not supposed to eat in a Beis HaKnesses, you're not supposed to drink. We don't just walk around. We don't just do things for no purpose in a Beis Knesses. The reason why I'm there is because I want to daven or I want to learn. And as a result of that, it expects a certain behavior, a certain response on my part when I happen to be there. That Gemara is quoted, Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Nun Aleph Si'if Aleph. So much so that the Shulchan Aruch also says that to talk Sicha B'Tela in a Beis HaKnesses, to talk gossip or idle chatter in a Beis HaKnesses is something that is certainly inappropriate. And the Achronim quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, who says the following words. The Zohar writes the following. I'm reading his words. Man de b'shtoi b'beik nista b'milin d'chol. Somebody who decides to converse, to speak in a Beis HaKnesses about milin d'chol. Nothing of real import, not talking about the davening, not talking about anything that is spiritual. Says the Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Truma. Now, why is it in Parshas Truma? Because in Parshas Truma is where the Torah talks about building a Mishkan. And from there is where we learn that the same way they built a Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we build a Mikdash Mat, we build a Beis HaKnesses. So there, writes the Zohar HaKadosh as follows. Somebody who talks in a Beis HaKnesses in Mili Dechol, Vailei Delesle Chulka Be'eloka Di Yisrael. He has no place in Elokei Yisrael. Wow. The ischazi de lesle aloka, you are basically showing that you don't have a God, velo ishtakech taman, and you are showing as well that even if there is a God in the world, he's certainly not found here, because if God was here, you wouldn't be speaking this way. Velesle chulkabe, velo dachamine, you're showing that you have no fear, you have no belief, you don't understand, you don't know what a Beis HaKnesses is, and says the Zohar HaKadosh, that is how seriously we take this idea of one not speaking in a Beis HaKnesses. The Kaf HaChaim quotes from earlier Achronim that Hamadaber sichas chulin bebeis haknesses. If somebody just simply cannot hold themselves back, I'm excited. During the week, everyone's on different schedules. Everyone goes to different minyanim. Shabbos, I come to shul and I have my friends and I sit in the same bench. I sit in the same row. What do you want from me? I want to talk. Says the Kaf HaChaim, if a person feels that way, tov lo shelo yavo kol iker. It's better to daven at home. If you're going to come to shul and you're going to be talking in the davening, it's better that you should daven at home. Now, that's a very extreme statement, but that's what he says. But the rationale that he gives for it is because you are not only a chote, but you are also a machti es harabim. When you talk in a Beis HaKnesses, it's not only showing that you have no deference, that you have no respect for the place where you are, but you are also then encouraging other people to join in with you as well. And therefore, he says, this would be something that it would be more appropriate for a person to daven at home if they feel they cannot control themselves. The best answer is just control yourself. Don't daven at home and don't talk in shul. That's the best answer. But if a person feels that they're unable to make that decision or that choice, then they should better daven at home than to daven in shul. And the Prima Gadim even goes so far as to say that somebody who talks in a Beis HaKnesses, Yesh Ligar B'Misha Sach Sichas Chulim B'Beis HaKnesses, we should protest. We should be goer. Normally, we don't get involved. Somebody's doing something. Again, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But it's not always my business, right? Someone will turn around. When you talk in a Beis HaKnesses, it is your business, because the Beis HaKnesses is a place where we should all understand how serious it is. So the Medrash writes, the Beis Yosef quotes in Ilchus Tfila, the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of the Medrash. Amar Abelezer Rab Yossi, Pamachas Hayisi Mahalach Baderach. This Medrash needs a little bit of an explanation. But the Medrash says that he was once traveling, Rab Elezer Rab Yossi, and he bumps into none other than Eliyahu HaNavi Zachar LaTov. And says the Gemara, Eliyahu HaNavi had 4,000 donkeys, Gemalim, camels, that were all laden with all kinds of things on their backs. And he turns to Eliyahu HaNavi and he says, are you doing a business deal? What do you have all of these animals with you? 4,000 animals and each one has so many packages on top of them. What exactly do you have with you? Where are you going? He said, Amar li af v'chema. Eliyahu HaNavi responded, these are 4,000 animals that are filled with af v'chema, with the frustration, with the outrage, with the anger, that is what is in these packages on top of these animals. So Rabbi Elazar turns back to him and he says, what are you talking about? What are these for? Lema. And he says, I'll tell you, Lasos nekama ba'af v'chema. These are laden with the anger and the outrage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's going to take revenge. L'misha mesaper ben Kadosh lebaruch Hu, ben bracha lebracha, ben perak leberak, u'ben amin yehesh me'rabah liyizbarach. Says the Beis Yosef, these are the 4,000 animals that have packages on top of their backs that are all laden with the anger of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he is prepared to take out against those who speak in the middle of davening. That's a very fascinating statement of the Medrash. We don't find that with many other violations. We don't find the story about Eliyahu HaNavi who comes and is waiting with anger to take out the rage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu against those who are Mechalel Shabbos. Now, Mechalel Shabbos is a terrible thing, don't get me wrong. But the Torah tells us about the laws of Chilul Shabbos, and nowhere do we find that it gets that extreme. But here, Eliyahu HaNavi seems to say that there is something very upsetting, there is something very disappointing about somebody who doesn't understand where they are. And this is something that is repeated over and over throughout the Svarim and Halacha, and in the Midrashim as well. Now, what about the story of talking during Kriyas HaTorah? Now, you don't talk during davening, you don't talk in the middle of a Beis HaKnesses, Stam, it's a bizayon to the Beis HaKnesses. But what's the story with Kriyas HaTorah in particular? So the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, and this is often misunderstood, people think, why do I have to stand during Kriyas HaTorah? Right? There are some people who stand during Kriyas HaTorah. Why do I have to stand? So they think it's because the Pasuk says in Nehemiah that when Nehemiah opened up the Sefer Torah, it says, Ukipischo Amdu Kala'am. When they opened up the Sefer Torah, Amdu Kala'am means the entire assembly, the entire congregation stood up. It's not what it means, says the Gemara. Amdu Kala'am means they were all quiet. Amdu Kala'am means everyone stayed silent, not that they stood up. We don't have an obligation to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. The Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch says, maybe it's a chumrah to show your kavod HaTorah, but it's not an obligation to stand up during Kriyas HaTorah. So says the Gemara, once the Sefer Torah is open, asur l'saper afilu bidvar halacha. You're not even allowed to talk and learning. You have to make sure that you limit your activities to only be focused on the Kriyas HaTorah. It reminds me that the Shulchan Aruch says, of course, you're not supposed to talk during davening, right? So what about if I have a question about my davening? Right, I'm not sure. Am I supposed to say Tachanun today? Am I supposed to say Mizmar Lesoda today? So, of course, I'm allowed to walk over to someone else and ask them. If it has to do with the davening, I'm allowed to ask the question. Shulchan Aruch even says a big chiddush. What if someone is in the middle of Shemona Esrei and they don't know the rules? What happens if I forget Masheva Ruach, if I say V'Sein Talamater, or I forget Yalavi Yavo? I don't know the rules. So I walk over to the rabbi. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to walk over to the rabbi in the middle of the Shemona Esrei and stop your Shemona Esrei and ask the question in the middle, in order that you should be able to know what to do. What does it make sense? To finish your Shemona Esrei, maybe you're not supposed to. To stop where you are, maybe you're not supposed to do that. So you're allowed to stop in the middle, or says the Shulchan Aruch, to go to the back of the shul, find the sefer that you need, look up the halacha, and come back to finish off your Shemona Esrei once you looked it up. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. I remember very vividly as a child, there was a boy in YU who was a very anxious person, and he always had a million questions about everything. He was always challenging everything. He was never sure. He was always questioning himself about everything he did. He had probably some religious OCD, whatever it may have been. So I remember he came over to my father in the middle of Shemona Esrei one day. He was davening Shemona Esrei, and he comes over to my father and he says, Shaila, I forgot what it was. He asked him, he forgot this, he did that, he did something wrong, whatever it was. So my father told him, well, this is what you should do. So he said, yeah, but this, and he started arguing back. So my father said, the Shulchan Aruch only says you're allowed to come over and ask the question. He doesn't say you're allowed to answer, you're allowed to argue with me. So it was a story that stuck in my mind, but the Shulchan Aruch says that, of course, you'd be allowed to be mafsik your tefillah, even in the middle, in order to ask a question that is relevant to the tefillah itself. But outside of that, we really are not supposed to. So says the Shulchan Aruch that in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, we are not supposed to either. And that is quoted, La Halacha and Simen Kuf Mem Vav. The Mishnah Berurah even says, once the Sefer Torah was opened, even if they didn't yet start the Kriyas HaTorah, once they're moving it around and opening it up to see where the parsha is supposed to be read from, that would already be a reason for a person to realize that I have to have a certain behavior because, out of respect to the Sefer Torah, one has to make sure that that they do not talk at that time. What about Bein Gavra LeGavra? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that even Bein Gavra LeGavra, even between one Aliyah and the next, is also something that one is not supposed to be busy doing. Now the question is, What if ben gavra le gavra, somebody wants to talk in learning? Someone wants to say over a dvar Torah. Okay, when you have that shaila, you'll figure it out. You'll worry about it then. But that is a big machlokas in the poskim, whether we are makel for somebody who wants to talk in learning ben gavra le gavra. But most of the talking that happens in the middle of laning or ben gavra le gavra has nothing to do with learning. It has everything to do with whatever is on our minds. And therefore, we have to be careful. What does the Mishnah Brura say about women? So the Mishnah Brura writes, the truth is, there's a big question whether women are mechuyavos in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah or not. Maybe it is only limited to men. They have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah every day. And as we know, that the whole takana of Kriyas HaTorah came because we didn't want Jews to be 3 days without learning Torah. So if you have Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, that will ensure that no one ever goes through 3 days without Limud HaTorah. Now, that's understanding that everyone's going to come to shul. If you don't come to shul, then it doesn't help. So women may not have the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. However, the Mishnah Brura says they should be quiet once they're there. Number one, because they shouldn't disturb other people. Number two, because it would be disrespectful to the Kriyas HaTorah itself if you have somebody sitting in the women's section who is not going to be paying attention. Okay, there's a very interesting passage from the Sefer Tzurar Hamor, which is written in the late 1400s. One of the old Svardashir Rabbanim, he was a Makubal. His name was Rabbi Aviram ben Yaakov Saba. And he was part of, in 1492, he had to leave Spain and he went to Portugal. Anyway, a long story about him. But he writes something that I thought was so prophetic. He says, Darashti etze pa'amim rabos kodam agirush. He says, before the expulsion of 1492, I spoke about this often. Ki afal pi sheyisrael oskim haTorah, even though the Jewish people in our generation, he says, are very respectful of Torah because they learn Torah a lot, we don't respect the Torah as much as they should. And he goes on to say that when they take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, miyad yotzim rubam lemalachta moledaber lashon hara, he said everyone is doing their own thing and they're not paying attention and nobody is watching the Kriyas HaTorah, nobody is listening, nobody is focusing on it, and therefore he says this is something that he finds to be a very offensive behavior that goes on during the Kriyas HaTorah. Then he says, Rosh Lishas Hanahuga Beinenu Ba'avonosenu She'omid Sefer Torah Pesuach Miyam HaShabbos. He says, in our Kehila, we have a Sefer Torah that is open on Shabbos. Ve'en Rotzim Lalos Veliris Es Paneo Adon Hashem U'mizalzalim Bekavad HaTorah Ba'avur Kavodam. He says, people don't want to go up for Aliyah because they're upset with the Aliyah that they got. So we recently had a meeting with all the Gabayim who were talking about what happened over Yom Noraim, planning meeting, figuring out what should we do differently. And I was so surprised to hear that the Gabayim were saying there are some people who are actually upset that I got this Aliyah, not that Aliyah. I'm thinking, you should be happy you got an Aliyah at all. Most people in the shul do not get an Aliyah on Yom Noraim. You're pretty lucky that you even got one in the first place. Beyond that, you're going to be upset that you got this Aliyah instead of the other one? I don't know. And even if you didn't get an Aliyah, So someone mentioned to me after we made my son's bar mitzvah, didn't go unnoticed that you did not take an aliyah at your own son's bar mitzvah. So I said, I asked the Gabbai before Shabbos, how many yard sites do we have? He told me we have however many it was, so why would I take an aliyah? We have to make hosafas because I need an aliyah? So I said, to say that my father shouldn't get an aliyah, I'm not prepared to be mevater on his right, on his kavod. To say that the other grandfather shouldn't get an aliyah is also not right. It's not mine to be mochalam, but I don't need an aliyah, it's okay. So that's what we do. So he writes that this is something that he was bothered by, that people are called up to be mechabed the Torah and take an aliyah, and they say, no, I don't really like this. This is not for me. My father always tells the story that he was davening in the great synagogue in Yerushalayim, and the Rav of the Shul gave him shlishi, and he said that after they already called him up for shlishi, they noticed that Dr. Lamb, who was older than my father, was davening there as well, and somebody didn't notice, the Gabbai didn't know who he was. So somebody came over and said, you should also give Dr. Lamb an aliyah. So they gave Dr. Lamb Revi. So it was very uncomfortable that Dr. Lamb was my father's boss and Dr. Lamb was older than my father and, you know, a very honorable person in his own right. So whatever, I still think Rav Schefter should get shlishi, doesn't matter. But Dr. Lamb walked up and he turns to my father and he says, I've never gotten this aliyah. Which bracha do you make on Revi? So he was a funny guy. So he turned to my father and he said, he doesn't know, which bracha do you make on Revi? Anyway, so in the Sefer Tzurah Amar, he writes that we have to try to do whatever we can to do whatever possible to be mechabed es haTorah. And then he says, Bavur schus haTorah asida lachzor liyishuva b'zeh agalos. He says, we will come back to Eretz Yisrael in the schus of being mechabed the Torah. How do you know that? He just made that up. He says, no. It's a very interesting play on the words of a pasuk. The very finishing closing line of Sefer Malachi, which is the last of the Nevi'im, The last of the Nevi'im finishes off and he says, Hine anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyahu HaNavi. He says, I want you to know that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. Lefnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'anora. V'heishiv le'vavos albanim v'le'banim alavosim. That's in the end of Sefer Malachi. And what he's trying to say is, don't give up. Even though I'm the last of the Nevi'im that is ever going to be part of the Jewish community, you should know you have what to look forward to. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come at the right time. And he will bring you your geula. But what is the very end of Sefer Malachi? He says, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. He says, I'm the last of the Nevi'im. There's never going to be another prophet again until the days of Eliyahu. So therefore, hold on to the Torah. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. And what is the next word? Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. So says the Torah Mar, that is where we get this idea from. If you're Mechabe the Torah and you are careful to make sure to uphold the principles of Torah, then Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi. And he says that he feels a lot of the destruction that happened in his generation is something that he attributed to the lack of Kavod HaTorah that his generation showed, not only in the context of Kriyas HaTorah, but in general, he said, they learn a lot of Torah, but they don't really respect it. What about learning in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah? Of course, nobody would ever think of talking in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Nobody also would ever think of talking Ben Gavra Le Gavra, in between Aliyahs. That, we're not talking about, especially not in our shul. But the question then becomes, what about learning? We have a lot of very learned people who want to catch up on the daf, who want to do something, who want to prepare a Dvar Torah for the meal. Whatever they want to do, they want to learn during Kriyas HaTorah. You don't always have enough time. Now that we cut out Mishaberach and made them much shorter, so you don't always have so much time to be able to read in between the Aliyah. So what are you going to do about learning? So the Gemara says, in Brachos Davches, Beim Suka Lepsuka, in between the aliyos, my, what is the halacha? Am I allowed to leave the shul? It says that while the Sefer Torah is being read, I'm not allowed to walk out of shul. That's a bizayin to the Kriyas HaTorah. However, what about in between the aliyos? The Gemara says, teku, we're not exactly sure. And then the Gemara tells us a very strange story. We're not sure whether you're allowed to walk out in the middle of aliyah, but you're certainly not allowed to walk out in aliyah itself. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes, while the aliyah was going on, Rav Sheshes, one of the great Amoraim, Mahader Ape Vigaris. He used to turn around, face the wall, he sat in his own seat, minded his own business, and he was learning. Mahader Ape Vigaris. And everybody asked him, what's that about? We're in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Why don't you face the rest of us? Why don't you join everything that's going on? And he said, Anan Bididan V'inu Bididu. We are doing our thing, and let them do their thing. What do you mean? We're doing our thing, they're doing their thing. You're part of the Tzibur. You're part of the Minyan. You're here in Shul, so you should be joining in together with everyone else to join in the experience of Kriyas HaTorah. So Tosis asked the question, it says that a person is not allowed to talk in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. You're not allowed to do other things. So how did Rav Sheshes turn around if he was supposed to be listening to the Kriyas HaTorah? That is the question that is asked by the Rishonim. Many Achronim deal with it as well. So Tosis there writes, the answer is as follows. Tosis says, Rav Sheshes was different. Why? Rav Sheshes was an individual who was Torasa Umanasa, which means he was completely absorbed in his learning. He was completely consumed with his learning. And therefore, yes, it's true. For most regular people who come to shul, they should be focusing on the Kriyas HaTorah. If you happen to be an individual who is Torasa Umanasa, who is so unbelievably consumed and overwhelmed, preoccupied with Torah learning, then you don't have to pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah because you're learning anyway. We already find a precedent that Torasa Manasso has a different set of rules. For example, the Rambam writes in the sixth parak of Hilchos Tefila, Mishaya Osik Patar V'yegi Azman HaTefila. Let's say you have someone who's learning, and now it comes time to daven. So I'm doing the Daf Yomi in the morning. I wake up at 5:30 in the morning, and now it comes time to daven. Posik Mispal, of course, you finish the Daf, or you stop whatever you're up to, and you go and you daven. Imhaisa Torasa Manasso, says the Rambam, if I'm a person who is so overwhelmed and consumed with Limud HaTorah, then Einos HaMelech HaKlal, and I never go out to work, and I never waste time, and I'm always learning every second that I have, then he says, Eino Posik. Then you're off to daven. That's okay. That's your full occupation. Now, that is the answer that is given here about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was very unique. Since he was Torasa Umanasa, and he spent his entire life learning Torah, therefore, he was allowed to disregard the Kriyas HaTorah that was going on, and he turned around and he learned his own thing, and that was okay. Now, says the Shulchan Aruch, we don't have individuals who are Torasa Umanasa today. As serious as a person may be, we don't consider ourselves to be Torasa Umanasa, and Rav Asher writes the same thing as well. So even if you think that you're a big Talmud Chacham, even if you think you learn all the time, Shulchan Aruch says you would not have this special dispensation, and therefore, the answer that Tosis gives would not be really applicable today, because the answer Tosis says is, if you are Torasa Umanasa, you have a right to disregard the Kriyas HaTorah. But says the Shulchan Aruch, we don't have Torah Samanasu today, so everyone has to pay attention to Kriyas HaTorah anyway. Tosis gives a second answer, which is very fascinating. Tosis says, well, we know another fact about the life of Rav Sheshes. What do we know about him? Rav Sheshes was blind. Oh, says Tosis. Since he was blind, therefore, maybe he didn't have an obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. And that's why the Gemara tells the story only about Rav Sheshes. What about the hundreds of other holy people in the shul? Everybody used to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. Why do we only have a story about Rav Sheshes who didn't pay attention? The answer is because Rav Sheshes was blind. So he didn't have an obligation to read from the Sefer Torah. And the question is, Rabbeinu Yonah asks, what does being blind have to do with whether you have a chiyuv in Kriyas HaTorah? Why should one have to do with the other? And the truth is, Rabbi Yosef Engel wonders, what exactly is the nature of Kriyas HaTorah? Is the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah that I have to read from the Sefer Torah? Just we don't want to have 50 people reading from the Torah at the same time, so we have one person reading on behalf of all of us, but really my obligation is to read. And if that would be the case, then someone who's blind probably doesn't have the obligation. On the other hand, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, maybe the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah is not the reading, but rather we are supposed to learn Torah. The whole takana of Kriyas HaTorah was instituted because we want to make sure people learn Torah every couple of days. We want to make sure at the bare minimum, every 3 days, every Jewish man is going to make sure that they learn Torah. And if that's the case, then you have to ask yourself, what would it make a difference if someone is blind? If the whole obligation is just that you should be able to learn Torah, then somebody who's blind or somebody who is able to see well, either one should have an obligation to learn Torah. You don't have an obligation to read from the Torah. Rav Soloveitchik, my father quotes in one of his farm a funny story about Rav Soloveitchik. He said, somebody once asked a question I don't know if it was a question or if Soloveitchik said it was in shul in Boston. It sounds like a lot of funny things happened in Boston in the shul there. Could it be? Strange stories. So I think he said one time there was a Balkori who came into shul, and he turns to one of the guys in the minyan, and he says, I hate you, and I'm having in mind not to be motzi you in the Kriyas HaTorah today. Strange story. So, all right. So the question then became, what does this guy do? So Rav Soloveitchik said that he thought, I think he said this happened in Boston, I don't know, or it's just a story that he told. So he said, does it really matter if he hates me? If the whole mitzvah is only to learn Torah, so what does it matter if he likes me or he hates me? If the mitzvah is that all of us have an obligation that we need to read from the Torah, just we don't want to have 50 people reading at the same time, so one person is designated on behalf of all of us, then he has to have in mind to be motzi everyone. And if he has in mind to exclude one person in the shul, that's a problem. But if the whole mitzvah is just we want to have limud haTorah, so what do I care if he likes me or doesn't like me? So my father said when Rav Soloveitchik was telling over this story, this halacha, so he pointed to two guys in the shir. My father tells the names of who the guys were, which was funny. So he said there was one guy in the shir who was a total Am HaAretz, who didn't know anything, couldn't follow the shir at all, but Rav Soloveitchik was very close with his family and had a big affinity for this family. So he let him in the shir because he was close with the father, the grandfather, whoever it may have been. But he had no clue what was happening. The other guy, Rav Soloveitchik, couldn't stand him. Not because he didn't like him, but because he would always challenge him in the middle. He would always scream at him, and they were back and forth in the middle of the shir, and he was very sharp and very smart. But Rav Soloveitchik said, you know, could have done without this guy. So Rav Soloveitchik points to both of them. He says, you, I hate you, you're annoying, and I really can't stand when you're in the shir. And you over here on this side, you have no idea what's happening in the shir, but I love your family, so I like you anyway. So who's Yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in my shir? I'm trying to teach. So the bottom line is I have to make sure that the students understand. So you, who I can't stand, it doesn't matter if I can't stand you, but as long as you understand the bottom line of what I'm saying, you're Yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You over there, who has no idea what I'm saying, it doesn't matter how much I like you, Talmud Torah is not Mekuyim. Now, you're making a face. How can Rav Soloveitchik do that to two guys at Shir? I don't know. A lot of funny things happened in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, it seems. He said plenty of things. I guess out of tough love. I'm not sure. But that was the story that he told. I think that individual who Rav Soloveitchik said was very nice but didn't know anything, I think he ended up growing to be a great, great Talmud Chacham. He weathered the storm and he did okay. So the question here is, would somebody who has in mind not to be motzi another person, would he be able to be yotzei with the Baal Kori anyway? Maybe I don't need him to be motzi me. He's not doing my mitzvah. He's doing the mitzvah on behalf of the entire Kehila. And the bottom line is, do we understand the Kriyas HaTorah, do we not? If we hear the Kriyas HaTorah, we understand it, great. If not, not. Another nafkamina would be, my father said, can you have a Baal Kori who is deaf? Not a Baal Kori who is wearing hearing aids. A Baal Kori who is legitimately deaf and cannot hear. So, of course, that would be a great idea for him because he can't listen to anybody else, Lane, and maybe this would be a good way for him to take care of his own obligation. On the other hand, if somebody is deaf, maybe he doesn't have a chiyuv to lay. So that's the question. That is exactly the question. If I'm not obligated in a mitzvah, I can't do the mitzvah on behalf of anyone else. But maybe we don't need to designate someone to do it. All we need is the bottom line. The bottom line about Kriyas HaTorah is that we should understand the words of the Kriyas HaTorah. As long as we have that, doesn't matter who's up there. And maybe that should be sufficient. Yeah?
On Shabbos.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was hard of hearing.
Yeah.
He didn't use his hearing aid when they
went. On Shabbos. Or in general.
They had okay. The Balkare, he was standing right next to the Balkare, and the Balkare was yelling at the top of his lungs the entire Kriya.
Wow. Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So, anyway, so Tosa's second answer here is that Rav Sheshes was the exception to the rule because Rav Sheshes was blind, and therefore, since he was blind, he did not have an obligation to read from the Sefer Torah, and that is why he was allowed to turn around, which, as we said, is fraught with a lot of difficulty as well. So, in Shulchan Aruch, they write, there are some who say that if you're a Torah so menaso, you're allowed to disregard the Kriyas HaTorah. And some say that as long as you're doing it balachash, that's also okay, as long as you're learning to yourself and you're not making noise. The Bir Halacha asks, what do you mean? If you're doing it balachash, what does that help? The bottom line is, don't you have an obligation to read the Kriyas HaTorah? It's a Tarkanas Ezra. How are you going to just disregard it? And that is why the Shalah HaKadosh writes, also the Kaf HaChaim quotes from the Shalah HaKadosh, that even if someone is a big Talmud Chacham and they think that they're able to maybe pay attention to two things at the same time, listen to the Kriyas HaTorah, read a Dvar Torah, read a Gemara, whatever they're doing, or they have Torah Somenaso dispensation or anything else, Shalah HaKadosh writes, it's probably not a good idea to do in the shul either. Why? Either way. Because he says, the bottom line is, maybe you have the special dispensation, but nobody else around you has it. And therefore, if they're going to see you doing this, it's not just going to lead them to learn. They're going to say, we'll take it one step lower. So he's learning, we're allowed to talk, right? He's whatever he is, but we are a little bit lower, and therefore, we're going to do other things that we like to do. So he says, this would be something that we should definitely not encourage people to be involved in, because, number one, we have a mitzvah of Takanas Ezra, where we have this Takana Midrabanan that we should Lane Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, which means we should all make an effort to be sure that we hear the Kriyas HaTorah and that we understand the words of the Kriyas HaTorah as well. Beside for that, even if you have one of the special, unusual dispensations that is given, that would not really always be an advisable thing to be involved in, because that may spill over to other people who don't fully understand what you are doing and what the rationale is for what you are doing, and maybe they will misinterpret it to do something on their own that is not appropriate to be doing, or perhaps even worse than what you are doing, which is they're going to talk instead of learning. So this is a interesting bottom line from a very simple question that was asked about learning during Kriyas HaTorah.